So this morning, we actually have something pretty exciting. You all, if you've been with us for a little bit, you've heard about our Covenant membership retreats. And so this morning, we're going to celebrate people who are covenanting as members. And so we feel like these two words, covenant and member, are two beautiful words, but require some explanation. For us, member doesn't mean member of a club, doesn't like member of the Girl Scouts. That's not what we're thinking. We're taking the language from Paul when he talks to the church in Corinth. And he talks about a human body and its many different parts that work in symmetry and beauty together, and all the parts are needed. And so we are all members of that. And then the second word is the word covenant, which we also think is beautiful. I think I have it on the screen there. Where I think we live in a contractual society, and a contract is a consumer agreement where I look out for myself. And for us, we want to create a community that is alternative to that, which is a covenantal community where we make a relational agreement, but we're looking out for the sake of the other. And so this word is really, really beautiful. I think in scripture, it's used often. The metaphors that God uses to relate to us are covenantal, like a parent, like an adopted child. Like marriage. I was listening this past week to an interview with Chris Rock, and the interviewer asked him this question, and I thought it was beautiful what he said. And the interviewer asked Chris Rock, was it hard for you to figure out how to be a family man and a comedian? And this was his answer. He said, not really. I'm fortunate. I grew up with two amazing parents. My dad was really into it. So I'm really into it. And then he says this, I've never looked at parenting as a chore. When I hear people talk about juggling or the sacrifices they make for the children, I look at them like they're crazy. And then he says this, because sacrifice infers that there was something better to do than be with your children. He says, I've never been with my kids and go, man, I wish I was on stage right now. He says, I've never been at a movie set and said, I've never been with my kids and said, man, I wish I were on a movie set right now. But I've been doing a movie and wish I was with my kids. I've been on stage on tour and wish I was with my kids. And he says, being with my kids is the best thing. It's a privilege. It's not a sacrifice. And hearing him say that, just the words of a parent, of a love of a father for their children. And in scripture, you know, God uses metaphors like that. And it's this covenant where it's God like, this is for your sake. This is this covenant because I love you. I'll take care of you. And you go from Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob all the way to when they were in Egypt. And it says God heard their groans and then remembered their covenant. And then you fast forward all the way and through scripture is just this God covenanting, loving us. Us running from it, and then to Jesus that night with his friends. And he says, in the same way, this cup is the new covenant. This covenant is going to continue. I'm about to go on the cross, and it's a one-way thing. It's for your sake and for the sake of the world. And so for us, this is how we see it. God covenants with us, and then we covenant with God. And then we covenant with each other. And then in turn, we go as a community. We covenant to our neighbor. And then we covenant to our neighborhood. And then to our city. And so we've gone through two rounds of this. This morning, we're going to celebrate people who have gone through it. But before we do that, we're going to hear a few of their stories. Okay? So we're going to start with Kitty Johnson. So where's Kitty at? Let's welcome her up. Grab that mic. Hello. Good morning, Kitty.
Hey, yep.
We'll just start off. You want to tell us a bit about yourself, where you're from?
Yeah. So I'm from Nacogdoches, Texas. There's a few fellow East Texans here. I grew up, I was born and raised there. I have an older brother, two parents who are wonderful. I came to Austin to go to St. Ed's to study social work. And so I graduated last year. I've been here for 5 years and couldn't bring myself to leave. I love music and swing dancing. I'm sort of an obsessive swing dancer. It's how I survive.
And I hear where you're from, there are special blueberries. Is that true?
There are very special blueberries.
And tell us about these blueberries.
Yeah, we have a big blueberry festival every year. Okay. And you like pick your own blueberries and we'll pick like 12 pounds.
And they taste different though.
They do taste different. They're a hybrid between a huckleberry and a blueberry. Because up in Maine, the blueberries are really small and just not as good.
So these are like Texan-sized blueberries.
Yes. Texas-sized blueberries.
And so right now you kind of stayed and found some work at Posada. Do you want to, I think people, we talk about Posada here a lot. You want to explain what it is that you do and how you connect with them?
Yeah, so Posada Esperanza is a part of Casa Marinela. We're a program that provides services and hospitality to immigrant women and kids. And so my role there, we're pretty small staff, so we sort of all do everything. So I do everything from tutoring kids after school to helping people apply for, you know, food stamps and trying to get them hooked up with lawyers and different things that they need.
Okay. And maybe an example of what a day in the life of Kitty looks like. I think you got a phone call this past week. You want to just share that a little bit?
Yeah, so every day is different. I mean, yesterday I spent a chunk of the day watching How to Train Your Dragon and eating
popcorn, which I've seen.
With Valentine on it, which is awesome. But yeah, we get a lot of calls from people in the community. We had an interesting call that I called Get About. Of a family whose house had burned down on Tuesday, and everything that was in it, all of the family got out okay. Mom, dad, three kids, and mom is having a baby in a week and a half. And they were calling just to see if we had anything to offer them. And so, you know, we pulled out whatever baby clothes we had and kid clothes and shoes, because they have literally just the clothes that were on their back Tuesday when the house burned down.
Okay. And then if anyone actually specific to that call would like to help out a little bit, maybe they can talk to you after.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe could you tell us a bit in terms of your journey of faith and what that was like, and maybe some ups and some downs that you had?
Yeah, for sure. Ups and downs. So I grew up in a Christian family, going to church during all of that. Youth group is sort of the social thing to do in East Texas, Bible Belt. So I did all of that. And then I guess one of the big downs was I started dating this guy, and turns out he was really emotionally abusive, and I was in this relationship for 2 years, and he cut me off from my family, from my friends. I really was bad to my friends, and he sort of told me who I was and who I was going to be, what I was going to do, and there was a lot of guilt and stuff involved. And so when he finally dumped me after 2 years, I was, you know, had to figure out who I was without someone telling me that. And that was a really rough time, but also a really good time, and a lot of growth happened there. But then pretty soon afterwards, I went to college, and I didn't know anybody in Austin. All my friends went to they went to UNT. So I was kind of alone and got really depressed and just didn't know what to do with myself. I ended up joining a church because I figured they had to be nice to me because they're Christians and they're supposed to do that. But I just didn't know how to make connections with anybody. And so that was pretty much a whole year that was just really, really low.
So that was your first year when you got here?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so looking back, what were some things that happened that kind of helped you process through that? And what were some incidences maybe that you look back on that maybe were hard, but you see them now as really beautiful, redemptive things?
Yeah. Well, definitely being a part of that church was really great. You know, I sort of went into it for not great reasons, but having that community was really important. And I didn't really get where God was in all of that, and I was kind of pissed off at him. And I remember one night I was just like super depressed and felt like I was gonna like be sick. And so I went out for a run and ended up just like lying on my back, crying on a bench in the middle of campus by myself. It was a really, that was a low moment. But I looked up and there were three stars. So in Nacogdoches, you can actually see the stars, which is really important to
me. I've heard of them.
Yeah. Yes. There's a lot of them actually. But I looked up and I saw three stars and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is going to be okay. Like God is here and he's here just as much as he was there. it didn't get better right after that, but I knew it would.
Okay. And then you kind of, I think you started kind of engaging into community, and then over the next few years, what was that like? And then how did you end up at Box?
So I got real involved with that church. I ended up studying abroad my second year of college, and was sort of at that point like really not interested in religion and the church, and had sort of been burned because that community that I joined was, they're great people, but not a great match for me. And so I went to spend 6 months in South America, and was sort of just like, meh, church people, religion, I don't like this. But it was a really amazing time that God used of sort of, I don't know, seeing what it was like to actually live in prayer and to live in community with God. And there wasn't, that was the first time that I realized that there's not a difference between times when I'm praying and times when I'm not praying. It was just everything was sort of a prayer. And anyway, so that was a big change when I came back, was sort of realized what it was I was looking for.
And I think you said there was a specific incident when you were down there.
Yeah.
You want to tell that story?
Yeah. So I went with a friend, and the first month before school started, we kind of just traveled around and hitchhiked and did all of that stuff. And we had no plan except we're going to go south and we're going to be back by the time school starts. And God was just really ridiculously faithful to us. And everything that we said was a prayer. You know, we would say things at night, you know, just talking in conversation. The next day it would happen. And one night we were sitting around talking about puppies, because we had nothing better to talk about than puppies and how much we like them and how fun they are to cuddle and hold up to your face. And the next day we're walking along the beach and 11 puppies just came out of nowhere and ran towards us. Yeah, there were 11 of them. And so we spent the whole day playing with puppies on the beach. And we're like, hey, thanks, God.
That's— yeah, and you were saying like those moments, like it's subjective. You were there. It's really hard to describe, but it was just so clearly God in it. And I was actually talking to a friend this past week, and she was talking about how there's those moments where God winks at you. Yep. And it's kind of one of those moments.
Yeah.
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 How did you connect to Vox then? I think you found some roommates.
Yeah. So Craigslist made it happen.
So you found Vox on Craigslist pretty much, right?
Kind of indirectly. Uh-huh. I moved back to Austin after a summer away, didn't have anywhere to live. Got on Craigslist and found Natasha, moved into the house, and she ended up bringing me here. And I just really liked that it was about community. It was about being involved with the people who are around you and the immediate community around you.
So you found on Craigslist housemates that happened to go to Vox, right? And so who lives there right now? It's yourself.
Me, Natasha.
Natasha, she's right there.
Oh, she is here. And also Allie, who goes there. She makes the bread sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And we have a new roommate, Jill. I mean, not Jill. She just left for Tokyo. Bridget.
Okay. New roommate. Great. And then so you, I think when we were talking about you thinking about becoming a covenant member, you had some questions because you have future plans and you weren't sure how the future plans would line up with becoming a covenant member. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So I'm leaving in January. Which is really sad. And so
it's very sad. I've been trying to start a club, like Keep Katie in Austin Club. Like we'd make t-shirts and we'd go picket the streets.
It's not going to work though.
I know.
So I'm leaving in January to go to El Salvador for a little while and then move to Portland for grad school. So it was kind of, you know, I felt really committed to this community and wanted to, it seemed really natural to become a covenant member, but then I was like, well, what does that mean if I'm already planning on leaving? How can I commit to something that I know I'm going to leave? And to me, it's really about being part of a family, and I don't intend on unjoining this family when I go live in another city. And, you know, I hope to be back in Austin after a couple of years and really feel like whatever I'm doing in El Salvador or in Portland or wherever is really an extension of the work of this community. And so that's why.
And could you talk a little bit about why El Salvador and why Portland?
El Salvador, I was the first place I went when I graduated from high school. I went for a couple of weeks. It was my big inauguration into the world that's not Nacogdoches. And so that's really close to my heart, and I'm excited to get to go back. I'm going to be working with a community there that has had to rebuild from scratch since their civil war that ended back in the 90s. And they've done some really awesome organization. And so I'm going to go learn from them and hang out.
And why are you going to grad school in Portland and not Austin?
Because it rains there.
But you want to talk a little bit about the program, maybe?
I'm going to get a master's in social work.
Okay. But not a, that you can't get in Austin, though.
Well, no, actually. Austin, they have a different kind of focus in Portland than in Austin, which is really what I'm after for community organizing and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, I know selfishly, we always, you know, amazing people in our community, we'd love to hold on to you and keep you. But I really do think that a part of our vision is that we have, you know, pockets of Vox all around the world. And we hope that whatever God leads you to, that we'll get to be a part of as well. And so maybe just in closing, I think we're going to do some Posada birthday parties every month. And could you talk about that and maybe just tell people how they can get involved as well?
Yes. Yeah, I'm super excited about that. So we're going to be doing a birthday party every month to celebrate the people who've had birthdays that month at Posada. And we just want it to be a fun, festive time. We're having our first one this Saturday, the 25th from 3 to 5 at Posada. And if you want to get involved, just find me, email me, whatever. If you want to help out this Saturday, we have a list of people who signed up last week, but we'd love to have more. We need someone to help us coordinate food. So if you like food and birthdays, you should talk to me.
Yeah, and everyone should. We're asking help to party. Like, we're asking you to come help us party.
Please come help us play with small children.
Sounds good. Thanks. Thanks, Katie. Yeah. Next up, we've got Mr. John Ellison. Let's welcome him up. All right, John. So, John, you're a little newer to Austin. You want to tell us maybe where you're from and kind of a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I moved here last fall from New York, and I wasn't actually living in New York. I lived there for about 5 years, and then I left my corporate law job to travel. And I did that for about 2.5 years, almost nonstop, living out of a backpack. And after 18 months on the road, I was ready to settle down. So I moved to Austin to put down some roots last fall.
Okay. And the first time I met John, he's pretty chill, pretty low key. And then the more I meet him and the more I find out about him, then I was like, do you drink Dos Equis? Because you may be the most interesting man in the world. So you went to Harvard Law, then you practiced some corporate law in Manhattan, and then you left and then traveled the world to do some consulting. So maybe kind of that season of being in New York as a corporate lawyer, what was that like? Were there challenges being a corporate lawyer and following Christ?
As I noted in our email exchange earlier this week, I don't really think that there are any challenges to that type of to being a Christian in that type of environment.
Specific to that?
I think there are some challenges that are significant, but not necessarily specific. But for me, it was really, I think, mostly about integrity in a really big sense of that word, sort of doing your best, whatever the challenge is, for over a long period of time, over long hours each day, over long weeks, and sort of maintaining the right focus mentally, going through that process. And for me, and I think for a lot of people, that's a very challenging thing to do, really regardless of what type of job you're doing. I certainly felt it there, but I think it's probably something that all of us do struggle with a bit, regardless of what type of job we're doing.
Okay. And then what was it that motivated you to kind of move from that chapter? And then your journey of faith in many ways was literally a journey around the world.
Yeah, it was. There were a number of reasons why I left, but I had a great opportunity to dig in an entirely different industry. I did corporate law, like private equity fund work for 5 years. And before I went to law school, I actually did very different things. I worked for some human rights organizations in D.C. And so I wanted to get back to that. Didn't really know how that would pan out, but I had an opportunity to consult with United Nations organizations and travel. So I took it. And
So what were some of the places that you went? Just give us like top five.
It's a lot easier for me to give you the top two places I don't like. I
mean, okay, top two you don't like. Let's start there. Don't say Canada.
French.
Please don't
French
say Canada.
Guiana.
French Guiana. Okay.
Yeah, it's really not worth visiting. If you find yourself there,
I used to live in Dutch Guiana, which is now Suriname.
Seriously? That's awesome. A great place.
Yeah, thank you.
I love Paramaribo. That's like one of my favorites.
That's where I live.
Seriously?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next door, you weren't into that. French Guiana. Uh-huh.
And I don't know, someplace in let's say, Mali.
You're just like
Mali.
Picking random countries now.
Mali used to be good, but it isn't any longer, okay. Unfortunately.
Yeah. And then how did all those trips and the years traveling, how did that shape your faith?
Yeah, sure. So I think there were some definite highs and lows during that time. And although I really sought the experience out, it was tough in many ways to be always on the move. I literally was living out of a backpack for about 2.5 years for the most part. And so I knew people in some places where I was working or traveling, but I often was on my own. So that was a very isolating experience at times. And that was part of what led me to really seek out a place to put down some roots. And so that certainly shaped how I was thinking about my journey of faith. But also had some highs while traveling. I got to participate briefly in all sorts of different like faith communities in different places around the world, and just seeing how the church is really active and thriving, like regardless of what we're doing here or anywhere else, you know, it's very encouraging to witness that.
Yeah. And then you talked a little bit about how just your faith and kind of the highs and the lows, like it's always been that struggle between kind of the cognitive, the cerebral, and then kind of the head and the heart. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So that's probably something that's familiar to all of us, regardless of what industry we work in or what we're putting our hands to any given day. But I think for me, coming from a background where, you know, I was raised in a Christian family in sort of, you know, 20th century evangelical America. And so that has its pitfalls potentially and strengths, maybe emphasizing sometimes more of the heart and not so much like a really thoughtful, clear, and, you know, intellectual approach, certainly. And so that was part of my background. Another part of it was going to fancy schools and sort of being taught and learning to use my mind all the time, maybe too much, you know. So finding a way to sort of bring those things together is an ongoing challenge. Mm-hmm.
And then what has that looked like, I guess, through the years, trying to kind of balance those two things?
Oh, that's... I'm not sure. Maybe just consistency or persistence. Just keeping at it. I don't necessarily think of my faith journey as like a series of highs and lows, but sort of just an ongoing journey, really. And persistence, I think, is the key to just keeping at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just kind of continuing and kind of keeping those two things in balance.
Continuing to try to figure it out, and continuing to understand more about what it means to sort of have all of that in balance, but not within me necessarily, but sort of with respect to God, to how I understand my relationship with God.
Yeah. So maybe trying to figure out, you know, where does the heart and then the soul and then the mind and the strength, and then what do those, how does that play out day to day? And then in terms of maybe the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and what does that look like in terms of the interaction and like played out in daily life like that?
Yeah, sure. I think I mentioned in our email exchange that there was the parable of the lawyer who asked Jesus, you know, what should I do, basically? And Jesus says, well, you have to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your mind, all of your soul and your strength. And that's as much of a challenge now for me as it was for him or anyone else then, you know?
And then, so you landed in Austin last fall.
That's right.
And then how did you find your way to Box?
I actually just heard about it at some event I was attending. Somebody recommended a church in East Austin. For me, I was a little suspicious coming to Austin, even, you know, it's Texas, even if it is central Texas. And I'd spent most of my life on in the Northeast. So I was a little suspicious.
What were you maybe
suspicious
of some of
the Bible Belt stereotypes of Christianity, mm-hmm. and maybe this notion that people who are Christians in some places in America, for example, are Christians on the surface, but maybe it's just more of a cultural thing. So I think I was a little bit wary of that, and I was more curious about finding communities that were a little bit on the fringe of Christianity, if that isn't offensive to Vox, right? Like sort of being a little bit different.
Are we offended? I don't think we're offended. Are we good? I think we're good.
And so when I found Vox, I was really pleasantly surprised, I guess, to find a place that was a little bit different, but also very different for me from what I was used to, because I went to some really big churches, big name churches on the East Coast, like Redeemer Presbyterian in New York. And while that church is really different in a lot of ways, size would probably be the easiest to point out. There's something similar, I think, or something that I think both Vox and other churches that I've been to recognize, and that's just that the message about Jesus is not like a right thing or a left thing, and it's not like liberal or conservative or black or white or Asian or whatever. You know, it's something else. It's really just about Jesus. It's not about these categories that we tend to put things in as people.
Yeah. And if that's what fringe means, I think I'm pretty cool with fringe. So maybe for you then, you know, being pretty new to the city, you know, still kind of engaging the community, why covenant? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, so for me, covenanting, becoming a member here is actually something that's been in process for a really long time. And right now, for me, it's largely about avoiding some of the mistakes or some of the things that I've done in the past. I moved so much for, you know, 10, 15 years of my life that I was always thinking that, the next time would be the right time to join a church and really dig in and get involved. And it never happened. I spent 1 year in Miami, 2 years in DC, 3 years in Boston, 5 years in New York. And 5 years is a long time. After 2 years, I was sure I'd leave, but no, you know, it just keeps going. So I moved here and I thought, you know what? I want to stay in Boston, in Austin. I want to be at Vox, but I don't know what's going to happen. So why not just do it this time? Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah. And I like that. I think because our city is so transient, and oftentimes we're not sure if we're going to be here long. And what you're saying is you went through so many phases of that, and you're like, well, I'm here. I might as well commit and covenant to.
Yeah, that's right. Like I recognized how that had played out in the past. And I guess as you get older, you realize like time moves a lot more quickly than you sometimes think it's going to. And you never know what's going to happen. So just do it. And I also recognized in sort of my past, my experience, how I really benefited from being in, you know, covenant-like relationships, even if it wasn't with a church, like with the people that really had an influence on me. And being in those relationships, I felt it as a need, maybe particularly after traveling as much as I did and being on my own for so long.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, John. And so you recently wrote the Texas Bar, and you're hoping to practice law again. From what I understand, you actually probably didn't have to take the bar if you didn't want to. Is that true?
That's right, yeah.
but you just did it for fun?
Well, it's complicated, but it's a little bit more easy to practice if you have the bar here than if you're relying on a bar exemption from a different state.
Yeah, and so you're looking to practice law. So if anyone has any job opportunities, let John know.
Yeah, no, not really.
And John rides a motor powered two-wheeled vehicle, and so there are rumors of maybe Sunday afternoon two-wheeled motor powered vehicles maybe going on a ride and drinking Dos Equis just around town.
It's news to me, but I think yeah, we should do that.
You should do it.
When are you gonna get yours?
You talk to my wife. Yep. And then we'll go from there.
That's a good answer.
All right, let's give John a hand. All right, and last up we've got Parker Short. Parker, let's give him a hand.
Hey, Gideon.
Hello, Parker. And so Parker actually went through our first round of Covenant membership interviews and the whole retreat. But we have him up here, one, because he's also very interesting. And then two, he's been nominated as our treasurer. And so we thought it'd be great to get to know him as well. So
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Parker Short, why don't you tell us about yourself?
Hey, everyone. I'm Parker. I am originally from Dallas. I moved here about 3 years ago. I work at a marketing company, which sounds really exciting, I know. And I've been going here ever since I moved here.
Okay. And you've had a recent major event in your life?
Yeah, yeah. We went to IKEA yesterday. It was pretty cool. No, I recently got married to my lovely wife, Lindsay. Thank you.
How did that happen? Tell us about this.
Oh, the proposal? Is that what you...
Sure, that works.
Okay. So I wrote in my email, the best way to pull off a good proposal is to get a lot of people to lie, like all together on the same page. And so we got parents, family, friends all involved. And so Lindsay thought she was going to help set up for a family friend's birthday party in a park. And she pulled up and there wasn't a birthday party. Instead, there was me and I had a ring and I proposed. And then we went back to her house and I surprised her again with her sister and her best friend had flown in or had come into town to see her. So... And then a few months later, we got married.
All right. And so how's that going so far?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
All right. Good. So why don't you tell us a little bit just about your journey of faith? And
sure. Yeah. So I actually grew up in a large mega church in Dallas. My parents are very involved there still. And so that was sort of, you know, growing up in a mega church is interesting because you have faith ingrained in you from an early age. But for a lot of people, it's sort of the faith of their parents. It's not truly theirs, you know, so much until they've really wrestled with the issues. It's, you know, it's there. It's, you know, accessible. All your friends are doing it. So it's sort of easy to just sort of ride along. And for me, sort of at the end of high school, I began to really get fed up with that. I was not, you know, I was tired of hearing politics from the pulpits. I just had a lot of questions that no one really seemed interested in answering. But sort of because of that background, I was intent to wrestle through those. I wasn't just willing to walk away. So I started reading a few different books. I read a book called New Kind of Christian that I really enjoyed. I credit that with a lot. And through that, I really started seeing that there were a lot of people that did wrestle with these things and really came out on the other side. But there is value in sort of going through that and figuring it out for yourself and figuring out, you know, what of your faith is yours and what's sort of, you know, your parents, what's cultural, what do you want it to be, I guess.
Yeah, so would you say it's like the process of maybe the metaphor that scripture gives, it's like the wine is the same, right? It's still Jesus and the gospel, but trying to figure out for your generation and for yourself what the wineskin looks like.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. And then so you mentioned that the community that you were a part of in college was helpful to that journey. And so what were some things that were helpful? And maybe if there's people in that place in their journey of faith, you know, what are some things looking back on that were helpful, not helpful, things that were, you know, growing?
Yeah. So I went to college at Baylor and actually got involved in a church there called UBC, University Baptist Church. And what I found there were a lot of people sort of wrestling with the same things, sort of, you know, they came from a big evangelical background and were sort of disaffected with it, but weren't intent on giving up their faith. So it was helpful in the sense of finding other people who were going through that and seeing people who were even, you know, more in the midst of that than I was, or more, had more baggage, I guess, around it than I did. Getting their perspectives and seeing them, you know, sort of this group struggle, like, hey, we really want this to work. How can we make it work? Not just, you know, walking away. So that was really, that community was very useful and very helpful to me in terms of getting through that. Cause it sort of, you know, by the end of my time in college, it sort of became, you know, okay, we've deconstructed this to the bare bones. Now, what do we want this to be? You know, what do we like about Christianity that we want to bring back to the forefront and have that be a part of our faith. So I found a lot of value in that. It's, you know, it's difficult. I, you know, don't necessarily wish it upon people unless they really want it. But there is a lot to be gained from going through that process of sort of, you know, figuring out what belongs to you, what belongs to, you know, the historical church, and figuring out how you want that to all play together.
And maybe like there's a spectrum. On one side, you have people who just don't question and then just kind of mindlessly follow whatever faith it is. But then on the other end of the spectrum, maybe you have people who are so cynical and have deconstructed so much, they're just angry.
Are and you maybe, trying to say something?
And maybe to have a community to do it with so that you're trying to learn, you're trying to engage and follow the Holy Spirit, but to do it in a healthy way and to construct faith together. Would you say it's kind of like that?
I would. Yeah, there are definitely days I'm jealous of the people who can just, you know, take what's given to them and they're happy with that and they have a very vibrant spiritual life because of that. I'm not one of them, but, you know, I don't begrudge anyone who does feel that way.
And then you found your way through Box when we had a connection for when while you were in college. You want to tell that story a little bit?
Yeah, so I actually listened to Gideon speak for probably about 2 years or 2 or 3 years before ever meeting him. Because he was helping out at UBC, coming down pretty regularly to give the sermon. So I feel like I've heard a lot of the old sermons that you guys have too before.
But what happened was the pastor of the community there was actually killed, electrocuted during a baptism, and then that would have been your freshman year.
Yeah, that's right.
And then so I think a lot of people who were there at that time in that same year are actually part of our community now, and so. Because he passed away and they were looking for a new pastor, I went and pinched hit for about 2 years. I'd go up twice a month.
Right. Right.
Okay. So you found your way to Vox. How has that been?
Oh, it's been good. I originally showed up to Vox and immediately someone came up and said, "Hey, are you new?" Because I came here like 10 minutes before 11. No one does that. Yeah, so that's how I got plugged in. I, you know, had heard Gideon speak and checked out the church and came and liked it and joined. So, or started coming.
Yeah. And then now you've gone through the membership process and you've been nominated as a treasurer. So, you know, are there some experiences that you've had that you think will be helpful in this new role?
Definitely. Yeah. So, a few different things. Basically, back at Baylor, I was the student body vice president, which heads up the student senate. I feel like I'm in a job interview, but so basically, I was in charge of like a bunch of people who were very opinionated, and I didn't really pick any of them. So, like I said, that's not really relevant. But basically, we had a bunch of money to distribute because we had this awesome system of taxing students, but don't tell them because they never figured it out. So we would give money out to events and deal with budgets. After that, I was on the board of directors for my alumni association, did that for a few years, and currently I am running my own business. So,
and then maybe are there some experiences from just your workplace or running your own business, maybe some mistakes or things that have gone well that you feel like you can carry into this new role?
Yeah, definitely. My previous job was a startup that never really took off, but it was interesting watching the people in charge there, sort of how the money was handled. It seemed to be, you know, I didn't have the insight into it, but it you could sort of tell without too much guesswork that something was off, because it was like, you know, they came in with new computers and then all of a sudden there were pay cuts. So, you know, I was a little suspicious. But sort of learning from how people, you know, setting examples with sort of how you want money to be spent is important. At my current business, we're very conservative. We try to put away money anytime we can, just in case, you know, something happens. You know, we don't hope that happens, but just sort of preparation, being conservative with, you know, how you're going to use the money. I think those are both, and in terms of setting, you know, setting an example, I think all of those are important lessons.
Okay. And then I guess just for you then, you know, we live in a very non-committal society. Why covenant?
Well, to me, covenanting is important, especially with a group like this. I think it's easy to sort of, you know, come in and say what's wrong with something, like, especially since I'm cynical, apparently.
I wasn't talking about it.
Okay. But you know, with a church especially, it's easy to come in and say, well, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this. But it takes, you know, if you really want to change something about it and, you know, have a positive impact, it takes a lot of, you know, saying, hey, I'm committed to this. I want this to be good, but here's just my qualms. So to me, it's sort of like how, you know, sticking with the name Christian, it would be very easy to say like, well, there's so many people, you know, doing terrible things who are Christian or who claim to be Christians and things like that. And it would be easy to say, you know, I want no part of that. But I think there's more value in sort of toughing it out and saying, you know, I'm going to stick with that and I'm going to make it better. So it's sort of that same idea with, you know, a church or, you know, I'm here for the long haul as long as, you know, you're here and I want to make it better. So if I say something critical, it's from a place of love, not from just, you know, trying to bring it down.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thanks. Thanks, Parker. So we've gone through kind of two rounds of this, and for us, it's really been a healthy kind of formative thing, both for the individuals who have gone through it and just as a community. And so we're really excited. We thank you to everyone who's kind of jumped in headfirst. And so this afternoon, we're going to actually have our first annual meeting. And so we have some family business to take care of, but there's kind of two directions and focuses that we want to lean into this year. And we're going to talk about that, and we actually want your input to shape it a little bit. One is we are forming a team, a care team, and Jenny Ford is helping us lead that. And then Jason Minix is also participating. But we just want to facilitate so that we can all care better and do it well. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. So if you're here, we'd love to get some input and some participation. And then the second thing is there's been a team that's been talking about, well, we're here in East Austin now. How can we be good neighbors? How can we serve well? And there's a lot of energy and ideas behind that. And so we really want to lean into that this year as well. And we're going to have some discussion and some feedback this afternoon. So if you can, please stay. But right now what we're going to do is we're going to welcome in the new members. So if we could actually have the NAV team come on up, and then we're going to have all the new members. And the members who missed the first round, if you all could please stand where you are. So for all, yeah, the incoming members, please stand. Yeah. And then we're going to pray a prayer together. We're going to have it on the screens. And if it says to everyone to pray, if you could do that. For all the incoming and existing members, for that part, if you could pray it. And then for us as leaders, Jenny, you want to come up? And then we have Waylon, Johnny, Emily's not feeling well, and Harmon is out of town. But for us, a covenant goes both ways. And for us as leaders in the community, we're covenanting to you all and to say we're going to walk with you and be with you in this journey. So let's pray together. So Father, as you so loved us, let us love one another, so that others will see you living in us, and may your love be made complete in us. And to all the members, if you could pray this. And as leaders in the community, we commit to a life of servanthood. We covenant to facilitate this calling of life together, to shepherd, teach, empower, and care towards God's purposes in the world. May this love and witness call others to your kingdom.